Pollinating Change. The Buzz Tour. Change the Culture, Not the Climate. By Eve and the Bees. Eve Carnell, Steph Bradley, Miranda Shaw, Sama Bakir, and Paula Haddock. Published by The Green Woman Limited. Chapter 1. An Idea. You have to do that. You have to do that. Miranda stared at me intently and emphatically. The glazed smiles of a few minutes ago were gone. Squished together conspiratorially on the sofa, the New Year's Eve party continued around us from the night before. I shifted in last night's dress. Miranda raised a stern eyebrow under an untamed balloon of wavy hair. The urge to obey my usually highly affectionate friend took hold. Okay. I'll need a notebook. On giant cushions, under the stairs, out of the way of the dancing, I began to plan. I love planning. I love chocolate, dancing, and singing more. But it's a close fourth. It's like putting on an old favourite jumper, but one that I wouldn't wear out to the pub. A few years ago, I decided to take a project management course, but I couldn't afford the £2,000 course fee. So I bought a book for £15 and taught myself. When I passed the exam, I felt I could do anything, learn anything I needed, all with just the swipe of a library card. Frowning, I asked Miranda's opinion about the timing of the walk, and she answered, "You're going to walk with me?" I interrupted. "Well, after making you do it, I can't very well not, can I? For some of the time, anyway," she said, smiling. I let out a sigh as I relaxed onto a cushion. I wouldn't be alone. A year earlier, I'd read a book called Journey Through Britain, about a man's walk from Land's End to John O'Groats. It was written in 1970, and I was shocked by how much had changed, both culturally and environmentally. I wanted to understand my country, its history, its people, and that issue always in my heart. How could we change in time to avert climate chaos? It had stayed as a nagging idea, slowly evolving and growing, until I'd told it to Miranda. "Let's get out for a walk," I said. "I need to see the sun." At 4:15, there were only a few minutes of sunlight left, just visible through the row of blue glasses and vases on the windowsill. There was a lot of hazy, joyful agreement, but getting a tipsy group of a dozen people out the door was classic cat herding. We strolled in a smudge along the bank of the River Thames, and I found myself walking alongside Paula. I knew her only as a beautiful, smiley woman, who'd seemed unduly impressed with the exuberance, not skill, of my alcohol-free dancing. "I work in international development training, but I'm studying a master's in teaching mindfulness," said Paula. "Have you heard of mindfulness?" she said enthusiastically. "Oh yes," I answered. "I've got a friend who it really helped with a long-term illness. The NHS prescribed it. It's like meditation, isn't it?" "Yes, meditation is part of the practice," said Paula. "Mindfulness is about being in the present and paying attention to our experiences without necessarily judging them. So, for example, you can cultivate an awareness that allows you to observe your pain but not be your pain." As we walked back in the twilight, I felt strongly that Paula would be a force for good. I wanted to be her friend, to help her and learn from her. I knew her work was part of making the world that I wanted to live in. One of the first stages of project management is to learn from previous projects. So I set about finding other people I could learn from. I mentioned to someone that I wanted to start from Totnes as the home of transition towns, and they said that I could contact Steph Bradley, who had walked from Totnes in flip-flops visiting transition towns. I wrote down Steph Bradley and looked her up when I got home. Home at the time was a spare bed at Miranda's house, and the month before, it had been elsewhere for pet sitting. According to Steph Bradley's website, she had awoken from a dream with full knowledge of the places to visit. Steph had walked an amazing 2,000 miles, hearing the stories of hundreds of people. Steph's reply called me a fellow pilgrim and was full of kindness, advice and contacts. I read SAS survival books and made notes. I read a book on navigation for walkers and made notes. Blogs on walking, fundraising, speaking in schools, notes. I was in research geek heaven. Time spent reviewing educational material on climate change was not so fruitful. It only seemed to enrage me. It seemed to tell children that the world as we know it is coming to an end without telling them anything realistic the adults were planning to do about it. My notebooks became filled with page after page of earnest rants. "We're no longer ignorant of the consequences of our actions and collective behaviour," I wrote. "The suffering caused may now take place thousands of miles and decades away from us. But to the persons or creatures who suffer, that suffering is no less real. Our culture, our economy, and our government are failing our children and all those who come after." I thought, that doesn't read like an advert for speaking in schools. I had hoped to do school workshops on tackling climate change, as a citizen, not as a consumer. But no one likes a politically controversial ghost at the feast. Yet since quitting my job a year and a half earlier, I increasingly lacked the desire to sacrifice honesty. Contacting schools saved me the dilemma. Despite my carefully worded emails and phone calls, there was no interest in a workshop on climate change. I could see that this was an opportunity to get away from telling and walk towards listening. The route had to be roughly decided before I could approach groups. But at the start, I really only knew two things. I would zigzag across as much of England as I could, and I would not be going through London. Growing up in the home counties, you live in the gravity of an ever-expanding London. People all seem to get slowly sucked into it, physically and mentally. Your local travel, news and entertainment are all about London. I felt that London had no need of my services to tell a story, but that other places might. One of the big decisions was whether to go all the way east to Norwich and back. I started to mention the idea, and people would answer with derision, "Why would you want to go there?" although they had never been. I began to answer, "That's why." To understand, I would have to commit to really observing. I had previously studied atmospheric physics and climate change, but in January, I began an 8-week distance learning course on climate change that Miranda put me onto. It began well, explaining the science very clearly and the different factors associated with change. But as the weeks went by, it began to worry me, and then it began to alarm and anger me. "Have you done this week's course yet?" I asked Miranda as I waited for the kettle to boil. "No, I haven't got to that. It was starting to annoy me." "So far, they've proposed geoengineering as a solution, and this week, genetic modification and new pesticides." Miranda stoically shook her head. "I put some comments on there about permaculture," she said. "Yeah, me too. But it looks like the only solutions they're going to mention are from their own research." "That's funded by the biotech industry," she said. "There's hundreds of people reading this stuff. It's so messed up." We never did finish the last week of that course. I wanted to do something to get away from the feelings of impotent anger. If I was going to get other people involved, the walk needed a name. I liked the idea of picking up ideas from one place and pollinating them with the next. There's an old traditional English custom that if something significant happens, a beekeeper must tell it to their bees. If they don't, they may leave, stop producing honey, or even die. My home that month was with my brother, and one Saturday I was sat in the lounge, musing over ideas. Change, pollination, inspiration, migration, pollen, nation. Swarm, indoctrination, said my brother with a mocking grin as he came in and out watering houseplants. I snorted slightly with laughter and continued. Okay, steps of change, reconnecting, emergent, tell the bees, flowers of change, bees of change. Sting in the tail, he said, fear the truth. Learning buzz, buzzwords, buzz tour. Ooh, buzz tour. Nah, said my brother, shaking his head. Killer bees. So I would be a bee. I would dress like one, and I would pollinate ideas from town to town. I put together a website for the now-named Buzz Tour and started to invite people to get involved. I didn't have to wait long. At an anti-fracking gathering in Oxford, Miranda and I were volunteering to make the vegan food. It's not entirely altruistic on my part. I do like to be near the food. Best place to be at a party? The buffet table. Well, beside it. The pig in the sausage rolls probably doesn't think it's the best place. In between sorting out curries and soup, we were in the meetings. Fracking involves injecting water and chemicals deep underground to fracture the ground and release methane gas. The many objections to it come under either pollution or climate change. Discussions were being had about a climate caravan to travel around the country. I raised my hand. I'm planning something similar for this summer. Anyone's welcome to come along. It's going to be a walk called the Buzz Tour. Five people came to chat about the tour at lunchtime, all with fantastic ideas. An energised Sammer suggested visiting some of the anti-fracking protection camps. She'd recently spent time living at one. A dreadlocked Cara came and told me she'd love to walk the majority of the walk. But I'm trying to be realistic about what I do, she said. So let's see. Mel, a lawyer from London, also wanted to be involved. In order to apply for funding, we needed a bank account, and for that, we needed a constitution. Writing the constitution turned out to be a wonderful exercise. What did we believe in, and how did we want to operate? The main purposes of the tour were to support and publicise people working for a better society and environment, to share skills and information to facilitate positive change, for participants to feel inspired and to inspire others. As I thought more deeply about the principles of working, they began to emerge. Respect, flexibility, resilience, sharing, personal transformation, people and process before outcomes. I planned the walk so that anything someone contributed was a gift, without commitment. The following month, there was another anti-fracking gathering, this time in Lewes, with Sammer doing the food. Wearing a purple bowler hat with a big fabric flower, she leaned on the counter munching something. She could have been in her own kitchen baking a cake, rather than cooking a meal for 50 in an unheated art centre. She came confidently into the meeting to let people know lunch would be 20 minutes late. Utterly calm and unapologetic, she seemed to be enjoying herself. And the food? Delicious, of course.